Boker Tov, good morning, it's good to be back. I apologize for being on the past couple of days. I believe we are on Daf Lamed Zayin. Today's Daf is Daf Lamed Zayin. We're going to start from the bottom of Lamed Vav Amud Bet 36b. Today's Daf is actually going to be about getting paid to teach Torah and how it's not so simple to get paid to be a teacher of Torah. Today's class should be for the refuah shlema of all the cholim v'chalam chimdav racham v'chadushan l'mechan v'kam v'nifkas harman v'nish v'lom v'sarad avir v'nachel yifah v'dvara v'shkob v'dachav v'rifkob v'sar shalom v'sar v'fah v'nam v'shav v'nachana yifah v'nuriyam yavudam v'nifah chayis v'sar v'chab v'nachana simcha ben malka miriam v'nachad v'sar v'nuriyam chana l'ena v'na omar chad v'stamar v'stamar chana v'gid v'brachad v'amar v'sar v'sar v'nuriyam v'kumar v'dam Alina Vagabra, Yamagabra, the Sarah Sham, We're at the bottom of 36b, five lines on the bottom. We said in the Mishnah, Milamdom Midrash Halachot Vagadot, Aval Lo Yilamedenu Mikra. If let's say you have a person who you were Mudar Hana'ah, you took a neder, not that that person should not benefit from you. So the Mishnah said you're allowed to teach him Midrash Halachot Agadot, but you cannot teach him Mikra. So the Gemara is now going to ask, what's the difference? Why can't you teach him Mikra? So the Gemara says, Mikra Maitama Lo Yilamedenu. Why are you not allowed to teach that person Mikra? So the Gemara says, "Mishum dekamehani lei." It's because you are now causing him a benefit, and you took a neder that he cannot benefit from you. So the Gemara says, "But the same thing applies for midrash. Midrash nami kamehani lei. Midrash also. You're teaching a midrash. He's also benefiting from you." So the Gemara says, "Amar Shmuel b'makom shenotnein sechar ala mikra ve'notnein sechar ala midrash." It's talking about a place that they take pay. A person generally would get paid in this type of place for teaching mikra. And they would not get paid for teaching midrash. So he is not allowed to teach mikra for free because he is benefiting the guy who could have paid him, who should have lost money for this teaching. Whereas he's allowed to teach midrash because everybody teaches midrash for free over there. That's the way the Mefarash explains this. But the Gemara then says, "My piska, you know, what kind of answer is that? Meaning it depends on what the minhag of the place is. Why shouldn't it be based on if it's forbidden or it's permitted?" It has to be something that's permitted or forbidden here. How can you say it depends on the minhag, the custom of the place? Right? Why don't you say it's forbidden to even take money altogether for teaching midrash or mikra or anything altogether? So the Gemara then continues, "Hakamashmalan, it's coming to teach us the afilu b'makom shenotnin sachar al hamikra, even in a place where people take money to teach mikra, pisukim, from the Torah, share lemishkal. It is permitted what they take. Ala midrash, lo share lemishkal. But for midrash, for teaching midrash, it is not permitted to take money for teaching midrash." So the Gemara says, why? What's the difference? Why is a person allowed to take money for teaching mikra, but not allowed to teach midrash? So, maishnam midrash delo. Why is a person not allowed to take money to teach midrash? So, dichtiv. Okay, so in this case, midrash would probably be the way the Mefaresh refers to it here. In the previous amud, he says, "Ulahachi lo yelamedenu mikra bechinam lazetek amani lehas sachar she'en lenu ten aval melamdo halachot bechinam halachot." He refers to midrash as stam halachot, like general halachot. So that's how he explains what midrash is. Even though it doesn't, I don't know how that makes sense because the Mishnah said, "Don't teach him midrash." Halachot v'agadot. So it mentioned halachot over there. It could be that it's talking about mishnayot, and it's talking about all types of things, but midrash is in essence, in this case, would be halachot. But the Gemara is asking, why are you not allowed to teach midrash for money? Tichtiv, as the pasuk says, "Ve'oti tziva Adonai ba'et ahi lelamed etchem." Hashem commanded me, who is speaking here? This is Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem commanded me to teach you. Uchtiv, and then it says, "Ra'el limati etchem chokim mishpatim kasher tzivani Adonai Elohai." It says, "See that Hashem commanded me to teach you, or see that I taught you these chokim mishpatim, these laws and ordinances, the way that God commanded me." So the Gemara makes this line, "Ma'ani bechinam," just like Moshe Rabbeinu says, just like I teach you for free. So too, af atem nami bechinam. So too, you also have to teach for free. You're not allowed to teach for money. So the Gemara says, okay, if that's the case, Why is Mikra any different? So let's say somebody wants to be a bar mitzvah teacher. Where's the permission to do that? Mikra nami bechinam. So the Gemara says also for Mikra to teach Torah, regular Torah also, you should have to do it for free. So the Gemara says, Rav Amar. Now we get into the two reasons why Mikra may be allowed. Rav Amar, Shimur, Sachar Shimur, that it's payment for guarding the children. I'll explain what that means. But Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan says, Sachar Pisuk Ta'amim. No, it's payment for teaching them the Ta'am, how to read the sounds of the Pisukim. So what do these two reasons mean? Rav is saying, you're not paying the person to teach them Torah. What you're paying him is essentially to keep the kids off the streets from going into bad influences so they don't go onto a derech lo tova. So generally, when you would teach them the Pesukim, teach them Torah, they would generally keep them on the right derech and they wouldn't go in, the way the Mefarish explains, v'la'asok b'dvarim betelim. They wouldn't go and delve into, you know, things that have no meaning, and therefore they would stay on the correct derech. The Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it's talking about Pisuk Ta'amim. Like, I was thinking about it last night, the Ta'amim Club. They used to have the Ta'amim Club. So that, according to Rabbi Yochanan, would be allowed to teach for money. Why? So the Mefarish says, if you look at the Mefarish, Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Schar Pisuk Ta'amim, Shakil Minayu, Shemeladam Nikudu Ta'amim, Ve'ahush Sachar Matzil Mishkal, Ubisuk Ta'amim, Enu Ala B'mikra, Ve'lachadam Ener Mikra. What are you not allowed to teach? You cannot teach the Mikra for money. I'm not teaching the Mikra for money. I'm teaching the Ta'amim, the sounds of the Mikra for money. And so that's why that would be permitted. So these are two reasons why it would be permitted. Later on, we need to remember why these two reasonings, because later on we're going to need to know why Rav doesn't say like Rabbi Yochanan, and why Rabbi Yochanan doesn't say like Rav.
But isn't the Ta'amim the sounds?
Yeah, the Ta'amim are the sounds of the Mikra. No, not the sound of the Ta'amim. The Ta'amim itself. Meaning he's not paying the person for the reading of the Torah. He's paying him for the sounds of the reading of the Torah. So that's different than the actual reading itself. But we're going to explain a little bit later. But there's an interesting question over here. There's actually there's a bunch of questions. Not to get too much in depth, but the halakhic question over here is a person allowed to take money to teach Torah? So there's a huge machloket rishonim between the Rambam and the rest of the poskim, really. The Rambam goes to his shita completely the other way, that only Mikra, based on this Gemara, you're only allowed to teach Mikra for money. Right? Whichever reason you go by, but I'm saying, without getting to the reasons, the Rambam says only Mikra. Somebody wants to teach in high school, teach a class, teach Gemara, stuff like that, according to the Rambam, a Gemara class, how can you take money for that? The Ran says over here, according to Halakha, if a person is taking money, it is not allowed to be money just stam, this is my job. It has to be money of schar batala. Like for example, I could have made X amount of money if I was working, so I'm taking that 1 hour of teaching, and I make, let's say, $100 an hour, give me $100 for my teaching, not for the teaching itself, but for the time I could have made money during that time. That's schar batala. So that's what the Ran says. Exactly, opportunity cost, exactly. But according to the Rambam, it would only be mikra. So what permission do people have nowadays to teach? You see many, most rabbis in the world, I mean, to be a rabbi, most rabbis need to take money. First of all, I don't take money. I try to do everything voluntary. I never took a penny teaching Torah, Baruch Hashem. And that's my goal. My goal is to try to be as strict to the opinion of the Rambam here as possible. But many people can't do that. Their livelihood depends on it. And the question is that okay or not based on this Gemara? And the answer is that there are many poskim actually that say that nowadays, if the rabbis wouldn't teach Torah, wouldn't receive money to teach Torah, then they would all have to go out and work and we would have no rabbis today. So, if anything, it's a mitzvah yoter. It should be a mitzvah for them to teach with money, because if they wouldn't, they would be so stressed not to be able to teach. And not only that, it's a mitzvah on the giving side for us to be giving those rabbis money so they can be able to continue teaching without having a yeshiva dat. But that's really, this is a discussion, you know, in those times, this is the machloka between the Rambam and the Keset Mishnah and all the other mifarshim. Anyhow, that's what the everyone is relying on nowadays. You know,
direct, everything is okay.
Nachon. Okay. So the Gemara then says, Tnan, lo yilamedenu mikra. We said in the Mishnah that you're not allowed to teach this person that is mudar hana from you mikra. So the Gemara says, bishlama, makes sense. Limanda amar, according to the opinion that says, schar pisuk ta'amim. It is paying the person for the ta'amim, for the reading of the ta'ams. That makes sense. Hainu de lo yilamedenu mikra. That's why you can't. Hainu de lo yilamedenu. That's why you shouldn't teach him. Why? So look at the. Oh no, there's no mefarish here, right? Because mikra has ta'amim. But according to the one who says, and really, it applies to all. Elalemanda Amar, but according to the one who says Sakhar Shimur, it's really for guarding the person, right? That you don't want him to go onto the wrong derech. So the Gemara says, Gadol Bar Shimurhu, is an adult need to be protected that they don't go on the wrong derech?
Of course, that's a question.
I mean, yeah, that's true, Nachon. Nowadays people, adults do. But I guess the idea was not necessarily just to go on the wrong derech, but that maybe an adult couldn't control themselves to just go and do Dvarim Betelim. I guess nowadays it probably would apply that you know, Gadol probably does need Shimur. But back then, I guess it didn't necessarily apply. So the Gemara asks very simply, doesn't make sense. Why would an adult need to be guarded that they don't go out in the streets and do the wrong thing? Clearly, it's not talking about an adult. So the Gemara says, how could it make sense according to that opinion? According to the Pisuk Ta'amim, whether adult or a child, they need to be taught the Ta'amim. But by Shimur, if it's talking about an adult over here, it makes no sense. Adults don't need guarding. So the Gemara says, Beketan Ketane. It's talking about children. The Mishnah is talking about children. The Gemara says, if the Mishnah is talking about children, Ibe Katan, if it's talking about a child, Ima Seifa, go to the latter part of the Mishnah. Aval Melamed et Banav Mikra. We said, you're allowed to teach his children Mikra. That person who's Mudar Hana. So the Gemara says, Katan Bar Banimu, is a child able to have children? Child can't have children. So if you're talking about a child, how could he have children? In the Mishnah, it says, his children you can teach Torah.
I don't know what less than Bar Mitzvah.
Huh?
Child by definition, less than.
Yeah, meaning a little child. And obviously a little child cannot be someone with children. So it cannot be talking about the Mishnah, a child. So what is our Mishnah talking about? So the Gemara explains. Chasurim echsera v'achekitani. It's really missing something, and the following is what was meant to be taught. V'achekitani. Lo yelamadenu mikra bekatan. You should not teach mikra, talking about to a child. Right? Because if you go according to the second reasoning, it's shimur, it needs to be a child. Im hayak gadol, and if it was an adult, milamdo lo ulbanav mikra. And if it was an adult, you're allowed to teach him mikra and his children mikra. Why? Why would you be allowed? So look at the, look at the Iran. The Iran says, it's towards the bottom. Im hayak gadol milamed lo ulbanav mikra. Lo, for him, the lo ba'i shimur, because he doesn't need protection in those days. Le banav nami afagav de ba'u shimur, even though the children need to be guarded. It's not any less than a person like babysitting, for example. So he's being paid to watch someone's kid. That's what he's doing, essentially. So in those cases, in that case, it would be allowed to teach him mikra and his children mikra if it was an adult, according to that ta'am.
Sometimes teaching, you can't get paid for teaching him, or you can't teach him.
Right, getting paid to teach him.
One time, Rabbi Ben David was here, he was saying, you know, how you have to be careful with your parents and I. So a person says, I'm married. He said, you guys have to get...
Even more careful, badai. Okay, very good. Meitive, we have a contradiction. Tinokot, we have a Gemara. Tinokot lo korin mitchila b'shabbat. Children are not allowed to read or allowed to be taught for the first time on Shabbat. Something that they've never learned before.
It's painful.
Ela shonin berishon. They're only allowed to go teach something to the children, something that's a repetition. Even if they learned it once, they can teach them a second time. But you cannot teach a child something for the first time on Shabbat. So the Gemara tries to get into the reasoning as to why. So the Gemara says, "Pishta malamanda amar." It makes sense according to the opinion that says, "Schar pisuk ta'amim," that you cannot teach him for the first time on Shabbat because of the reason that says you're teaching it, you're paying the rabbi for teaching him ta'amim. Hainu de'ein korin b'tchila b'Shabbat. That's why you can't teach him to read initially on Shabbat, because you're paying him schar Shabbat. You're paying the guy for teaching him ta'amim on Shabbat. Ela lemanda amar, according to the ones who says schar shimur, according to the one who says it's referring to paying him to overlook the student, to guard him so he doesn't go on the wrong path. Amai en korin mitchila b'Shabbat. Why is he not allowed to read for the first time on Shabbat? What does that have to do with guarding him? Meaning, if a person is paying him to overwatch the student so he doesn't go on the wrong path, why can't he read for the first time on Shabbat? I understand if it's pisuk ta'amim, because then you're paying the rabbi who's teaching him the ta'amim for the first time on Shabbat. That's not allowed. But paying him to oversee... Here, look at the Mefarash. Mefarash says, "Lo korin mitchila b'Shabbat, ein mitchalin lelamdam mitchila b'Shabbat ve'davar shelo lamdu me'olam." You can't teach them the first time something they've never learned before on Shabbat. But they can go over something they've learned before. The next Mefarash, Bisham alamad amar, so he says, "Schar pisuk ta'amim, shar lemishkal." In that case, it makes sense. It would be allowed to be taken. Hainu de'ein korin mitchila b'Shabbat, דהוילו מעולם לא למדו דבר זה, אלא עכשיו, אינו מלמדו אלא בשכר, ואתה למשקל שכר בשבת, אבל שונין דעביד בלא שכר. So, in the case of, the case of ta'amim, what does he say? He's saying that by ta'am, if I'm teaching him, if this is the first time that I'm teaching him on Shabbat, that then what's going to happen? I'm going to be taking money that I'm teaching him on Shabbat for. That's considered schar Shabbat, payment for a Jew on Shabbat, which is not allowed. We didn't get into havla'ah yet. If it's not havla'ah, you're paying somebody to do work on Shabbat, a Jew to do work on Shabbat, that's completely asur. So in that case, it makes no sense that would be that makes sense why you wouldn't be allowed to teach the child for the first time on Shabbat if it was ta'amim. But if it was schar shimur, if it was just to protect him, why can't you teach him to read for the first time on Shabbat? Look at the next mefaresh. Afilu shonin lo. Even to teach him, even to repeat his teaching, meaning to go over, you shouldn't be allowed. Why would it be allowed to reteach him? Meaning it's not a problem of teaching him the first time, it's a problem of even reteaching him. Lo, da'ika schar shimur de Shabbat. Right, okay, let's explain the difference. There's schar ta'amim and the schar shimur. There's the payment for the teacher to teach him the ta'am of the reading, and payment to overlook him so he doesn't go on the wrong path. If we, and we said what? You're not allowed to teach him for the first time on Shabbat, but you can reteach him on Shabbat. So according to ta'amim, it makes sense. Why? Because if you're teaching him for the first time, you would take payment. So that's why you're not allowed to do that on Shabbat. But if you're repeating teaching, you would do it for free. So you're allowed to repeat teaching on Shabbat. But according to schar shimur, that you're protecting the child, why can't I teach him for the first time on Shabbat? And why do we say you're allowed to reteach him? If when I'm reteaching him, I'm doing it as like I'm babysitting him, for example, I'm going to take money for that also. That shouldn't be allowed. So how does that make any sense whatsoever? Why would that be allowed? So that's, you should not be allowed to do it for that case. It makes no sense why it words it that you're allowed to teach him a second time. So the Gemara says, according to your reasoning, schar pisuk b'shabbat mi asur is, it should be, I think, schar pisuk ta'amim. I mean, I think there's a missing girsa over here. Sorry, over here it adds schar pisuk shimur. Schar, okay, so there's a different girsa. Schar pisuk, paying him for the pisuk on Shabbat. Is it even asur? Are you forbidden to pay somebody on Shabbat? So the Gemara says, havla'ahi. This is havla'ah. What is havla'ah? Havla'ah essentially means I'm not paying somebody to just do work on Shabbat. I'm paying somebody to do like a week's worth of work, or a month's worth of work, or a year's worth of work. And Shabbat just happens to be within there. So it's swallowed in. Havla'ah means it's swallowed in within that time period. That's not only Shabbat. So that would be allowed. V'havla'ah mishra sharei. We know paying somebody with swallowed in, Shabbat swallowed in, would be permitted on Shabbat. So the Gemara says, "Detani, how do we know that? There's a Braita. This is a Braita. Masel Bava Metziah. I think Daf Nun Chet. The Braita over there says, 'Asucheret apoel.' If somebody is paying a poel, a worker, lishmor et atinok, to guard a child,
it's like a babysitting.
Yes, but it's from tum'ah for him to do the para aduma status, the red heifer work, or lishmor et para, or to guard the actual red heifer itself, or lishmor et zraim, or to guard the seeds." For the way the Ran says, for the Omer that are going to be used for the Korban HaOmer, the barley seed, the seeds for the Korban HaOmer, ein notlin lo schar Shabbat. You're not allowed to pay that worker schar Shabbat payment for his work on Shabbat itself. But lefichach, therefore, im avedu. If let's say it, you know, if like the cow or the shoots, the seeds were lost, they became ruined. Eino chayev achriyutan. He would not be liable to the responsibility of those things that he was responsible for, essentially, because he's not being paid for on Shabbat. V'imayas chir Shabbat, if he was a work, here it's Shabbat, but it's really a week worker, he was a worker for a week, or a schir chodesh, or a worker for a month, or a schir shana, or a week,
Shabbat means weekly.
A worker for a year, or schar shavua, a worker for 7 years, no ten lo schar Shabbat. You're allowed to pay him for his work on Shabbat because he's working behavla'ah. He's working with Shabbat included within the whole week. Somebody who works for a month at a time, you're paying him a salary. He gets paid for his Shabbat also. But he's not working, he's not necessarily getting paid for Shabbat only because it's swallowed in. So he says, lefikach im avedu, if those things get lost or ruined, chayav verchiyutan, he's liable for their responsibility. So what do you see over here? Over here also in our case, the case that we're talking about, why would it be forbidden? You're paying the person to do schar shimur. You're paying him for overlooking on the child. But he's doing it b'havla'ah. It's his job the whole week. He's a babysitter the whole week, for example. So it's havla'ah. It would be permitted. Also, in our case, it's permitted. So what's the difference? So the Gemara says, Ela gabi Shabbat. By Shabbat, this is the reason. Hainu ta'amad de'en korin b'tchila. This is the reason why you're not allowed to teach a child getting paid. The teacher's not allowed to get paid to teach a child for the first time on Shabbat. Mishum de'yifnu avaton de'yinuke le'mitzvata de'shabbata. Because we want the fathers of the children to go and to be delving in the mitzvah of onik Shabbat. Of enjoying on Shabbat.
It'll
take away from their onik Shabbat. Look at the Mefaresh. Shimayu asukin la'krotan b'tchila b'davar chadash. They would be so busy if they were teaching. You know, when you teach someone a new thing, especially a child, you teach a child for the first time something new, it's very difficult sometimes for them to comprehend. It takes time, it takes effort. The adult, the father, the parent is not going to have a lot of time to spend to enjoy on Shabbat. So the Gemara says, take some time off, don't teach them new things, do chazara for the child on Shabbat, and take time on Shabbat to enjoy. That's why we don't want you to teach new things.
So it's good to be doing the daf after Shabbat.
Ah, very good. Ve'ibay deima. Once again, and another answer. Mishum b'Shabbata achlin v'shatin v'yakir alehon alma. On Shabbat they eat, they drink, and the world is very heavy for them. What does that mean? It's very heavy. Kedah Amar Shmuel, like Shmuel says, we learn this in Masachet Ketubot at the end. Shinui veset tchilat choli me'ayim. That a change in a routine is the beginning of a stomach disease. Meaning, when a person changes their original routine and learns something new, it's very, very difficult. So also on Shabbat, if you learn something new for the first time, it's very, very hard for a person to comprehend, and that's not good for their own Shabbat, when they're very, you know, they just ate a lot, they're tired, they just drank a lot, and they want to rest, and you're teaching them something new, it's very, very hard for them to completely let that sink in. So that's why you shouldn't, it's another answer why you shouldn't teach them for the first time on Shabbat. You wanted to ask something? After? Okay, we said it. Okay, now we're going to go back. Okay, very clear. This is why you're not allowed to teach for the first time on Shabbat.
The Rebbe said is that on Shabbat, his eating is different, and based on that,
he's
in a more difficult state to come and comprehend, because he's at a Shinui with his eating.
Very nice. Okay, so he's saying that the difference is that you're eating different on Shabbat. The Mefaresh says, shekaved alehem lilmod mineh ha'ma'achal. It's difficult for them to learn because of the food. Ulachi ein kornim t'chala b'shabbat, demitza'erlu. It causes them suffering. Meaning, there's so much food inside them. They ate heavy meat. They ate all these types of food. It's hard for them to now study new things. Okay. The Gemara now asks, Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, they gave two reasons. Schar shimur. Rav said, schar pisuk ta'amim. And Rabbi Yochanan said, schar shimur. So now the Gemara is going to ask, why didn't they each say like each other? Why did they say differently? So the Gemara now asks, Ulamanda amar schar pisuk ta'amim. According to Rav, who says the reason is teaching the Tam, my ta'amal lo amar schar pis shimur. Why doesn't he say like Rabbi Yochanan? It's talking about payment for guarding the children. So he says, kasavar banot mika ba'ayan shimur. He says, do daughters need to be guarded? Nowadays, yes. Back then, the daughters, even go back 100, 200 years ago in Iran, they were very najib, very on the right there.
They would never leave the house.
They would go on the right there. So they didn't even need, they would teach them Torah, but they didn't need to be guarded so they don't go on the wrong path. So according to Rav says, why should they be guarded? So this doesn't apply for everyone. I'm not going to go according to Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, Ulamanda Amar Schar Shimur, and according to Rabbi Yochanan, who said, no, it's payment for guarding the children. Why doesn't he say like Rav, who says that it's payment for teaching them the Ta'am? So he says, Kasavar Pisuk Ta'amim de Oraitehu. He says, because teaching the children Ta'amim is a Torah law. It's actually from the Torah. It's not actually from the Torah. It's actually, I think, going to be from the Tanakh. But and you're not allowed to take money for something. You're not allowed to benefit from something that's from the Torah. Right? That's what the Mefarash says. V'lo matin l'mishkal alayu igra. You cannot take reward from something that's in the Torah. That's actually from the Pirkei Avot. Don't take something like a crown. Make the Torah a crown for yourself to benefit from, right? So according to that reason, you can't teach them say that it's payment for ta'amim. How do we know that? The Amar of Yikab Aravin, Amar of Chananel, Amar Rav. He says in the name of Rav. My dichtiv, what does it mean when it says Vayikra'u b'sefer, I think it should be B'torat ha'elohim, in the Torah of God, Miforash, V'som sechel v'yavinu ma'mikra. What does the pasuk mean? Vayikra'u b'sefer b'torat ha'elohim, the pasuk means ze. Mikra. That's referring to Mikra. Miforash. When it says Miforash, the Targum. That's a translation. The Targum. Vesom Sechel. Put a Sechel. Eloha Pesukim. That's referring to the Pesukim. Ve'avinu b'mikra, and you understand the mikra, ze pisuk ta'amim. That's where the pisuk ta'amim would actually come out. Meaning pisuk ta'amim in this case would be referring to, sorry, I think I skipped a line. Ze targum v'som sechet elu ha-pesukim. Did I skip a line?
Sorry.
Ve'avinu b'mikra, ve'kru b'sefer Torah Elohim, ze mikra. Let's go back. Ve'kru b'sefer Torah Elohim, ze mikra. Meforash, ze targum. That's targum. Besom sechet elu apesukim. Apesukim. That's where every pasuk would end, right? Ve'avinu b'mikra, and ve'avinu b'mikra means ze pisuk ta'amim. That's the sounding of the actual pesukim. Ve'amrilan, some say elu amesorot. No, it's actually the traditions. Right, look at the Mefaresh. The Mefaresh says, yeah, so all of the places where there is something that's chaser, there's something that's maleh, all different places in the Torah where we have all these hidden things where at the face value you wouldn't completely comprehend on your own. So that's another explanation of what it means. Vesom secha, the words vesom secha, ve'avinu b'mikra could also mean the traditions of spelling the various words. Sometimes they're written in partial script, sometimes they're written in full script. All of those different traditions. But what it's trying to show you from here is that, according to one opinion, is that from the actual Tanakh itself, it shows you a source that the Pisuk Ta'amim, how you read the Ta'am of the Mikra itself, is from the Tanakh. It's something that's from, you know, Torah Moshe, essentially. It's, you know, from the Kabbalah that we received. And so therefore he's saying, something that's from the Torah, from the Tanakh, you're not allowed to benefit from and reward from. So that's why Rabbi Yochanan doesn't say like Rav, who says that it's tam for the payment of the Mikra. Okay, I think we'll stop there for today. Let's do a quick 1 minute recap. This is a very interesting daf today, very halachic daf also. We started out by talking about the difference between Mikra and Midrash. Why Mikra, you're not allowed to teach the children, you're not allowed to teach someone who's Mudar Ana'ah, and Midrash, you are allowed. We got into two reasons. We said one is from Rav, who said that it's talking about Pisuk Ta'amim, payment for Ta'am, for reading of the Ta'amim. We got into two reasons why it would be allowed to teach Mikra in general to receive money. And we said one is Rav, who says Pisuk Ta'amim, and Rabbi Yochanan says no, it's actually for Shimur, for guarding the children that they don't go on the wrong derech. And then we went on the daf back and forth explaining different explanations as to why in Mikra and Midrash should be any different. Right, and essentially we also got into the topic of something that's called Havla'ah. Havla'ah is something where on Shabbat, and this is a very interesting topic, that if a person is doing work on Shabbat, and his work is incorporated on not just Shabbat alone, but it's on a full week's time period, on a full month's time, meaning not just working on Shabbat. A person is paying a worker to do work for a full month or a full year at a time, and Shabbat is swallowed up in there. That's Havla'ah, and that would be allowed because it's swallowed up within that time period. Then as we got into the Amud Bet, we tried to go back and forth explaining why Rav doesn't say like Rabbi Yochanan, and why Rabbi Yochanan doesn't say like Rav. Why Rav says Pisuk Ta'amim and not Shimur, why Rabbi Yochanan says Shimur, not Pisuk Ta'amim. And we said that essentially, Rav says Pisuk Ta'amim, the Ta'amim, and not Shimur, because he says Shimur doesn't apply for daughters. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it's Shimur and not Pisuk Ta'amim. He says Pisuk Ta'amim is actually a Doraita. It's written in the Tanakh itself, and you cannot take reward for Pisuk Ta'amim. Whereas the Shimur is not something that is from the Tanakh, and so therefore you could take reward for something along those lines. Okay, Baruch Adonai L'Olam. Amen ve'amen.